right there. It was mentioned last night. The Great Commission tells us right there the Great Commission. And so you ask, well, brother, what's the title of your message this evening? The title of my message is God's Op Order. Op Order is abbreviation for Operation Order. So it's O-P-O-R-D, Op Order, Operation Order. And so how many are military, former military, law enforcement? Thank you. Thank you for your service. I have a heart for both the military and law enforcement, our first responders. I have a heart for many of them. So thank you. So before we get into the message, we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house this evening. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, just help us to take in from what we learned tonight, Lord, even if it's just one little nugget that we can apply it to our lives, Lord. And Lord, just ask you to just use me this evening, Lord. Give me the right words to convey your message, Lord. And of course, Lord, if there's anybody that is in here this evening that doesn't know you, Lord, that tonight would be their night of salvation, Lord. Lord, just thank you for everything you give us, Lord, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So right before, in the military, many, we have a plan, we have plans and a path and a goal in which we're trying to reach. And so many military services, government agencies, they have many different plans how they're going to respond to different things, whether it's a disaster response or different things. And in the military, we train and we prepare for what we might face, what we might encounter. So if when we are trying to plan for a need for a convoy, or if we're going out on foot on a mission, we have to plan for that. What's going on? What's going to go into that? How much weapons we're going to take? How much ammo we're going to take? Who's going with us? Vehicles? How much fuel? Our gear? All that stuff goes into that. We also have to plan for a primary and alternate route. So if we have to be to an objective, and we might face some kind of adversity. Like I said earlier, we've trained for what we might encounter. And so we have to have a primary route or an alternate route. That's both going to the objective or mission and getting back to home base. Because we might be going out on that primary route. We might face some adversity. We may have to press on forward and keep going through. Or we might have to deviate and take that alternate route to that objective. So there's always a lot of planning in many missions or objectives. Sometimes right before an operation order, if time permitted, we might have, and the military has a bunch of acronyms and different phrases to help us remember different things. But sometimes we might have what we call a WARNO. WARNO stands for warning order. Usually that's your senior leadership that has the next level leadership, and that's a briefing, and they brief on a situation that happened. And then they disperse, and they come, and they get the next level leadership, and they brief what is in the op order. And usually right before an op order, we always assign five people a part of that operation order. There's five parts to an operation order. And so to help us remember each part of the operation order, this phrase sounds funny, but I guarantee you, you'll remember it. Sergeant Major eats sugar cookies. Most sergeant majors that I remember wouldn't be eating sugar cookies. They'd be out running PT around all their troops. So the sergeant is the situation. The situation, for example, we have a down pilot. And we have to go rescue them. So we would assign, I wouldn't mind briefing that one, that part. And so then the next part, or basically the situation, we would say, on this date, this time, this location, we have a down pilot who is injured. Then we go into the mission. The mission, the major, is a lot easier to brief, Pastor. I didn't mind briefing that one either. Maybe you were up here maybe a minute or two. And you basically said, our mission is to go and rescue that pilot. The next part, the third part, the eats, is our execution. The execution is everything, all the planning, how we're going to go about this mission, how we're going to execute it, how we're going to save that pilot. That was the part that I did not like to brief. Because an operation order could be anywhere from an hour or if not more. So that was the part that I did not like. The fourth part was our sugar. The sugar is our service and support. Our service, it could be who might be going with us. I mentioned earlier we have a down pilot who is injured. We might take some combat medics with us. If we're going out on foot, we might have a dog team for tracking. And then our support part of that. The support part is, earlier I said we might face adversity. Who is out there that we can call upon to help us out if we get overrun? Whether that be air support or ground support, who is out there? Could be Army, could be the Marines. Who is Army and Marines? Anybody? So yes, sometimes the Air Force calls on them. The fifth part, our cookies, is our commander, our command and control. Our command and control can be anybody from our convoy commander or our team lead all the way down to the lowest ranking individual. Well, you say, well, why you say lowest ranking individual? Because I said we might take some other services with us. So all those people are in this briefing, this operation order. We always started an operation order with a time hack. That way everybody was on the same time. Because there's a lot of backwards planning that goes into this operation, this mission. So if we got to be at an objective by a certain time, we have to backwards plan. All our gear checks. We might have some sandbox. Who liked playing in the sandbox as a kid? Okay, so we would disperse from the operation order, and we'd send out the airmen and some of the young NCOs, and they would set up like a sandbox. It was basically like our rock drills, how we're going to go about doing this mission. And I would just sit there and watch them. It was like little kids playing in a sandbox. And so we would do all these drills and prepare gear checks, everything, make sure everybody has their ammo, whatever we need for that mission. We would also give everybody a call sign. That way we know who we're talking to on the radio and who's giving out the commands. The same is true in life. Right here, we have God's op order. Amen. We have God's op order. So just like the military op order, God's op order deals with, number one, the situation. The situation is, through those doors, we have a lost and dying world. Right. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment. There are many people that are going to face the judgment. There are many people that are going to die without Christ. Here's some statistics for you. On average, two people die per second. 6,392 per hour, 4,679,452 per month, and 56 million people die per year worldwide. That's a lot of people that are dying without Christ, many that are dying without any idea of their eternity, and some that are dying without hope. The second part, the mission. The mission God has given us is simple. Reach the lost for Christ. God tells us right here in Mark 16:15. We are to tell others about the love of God and the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. Many times throughout, he showed us in the Bibles, in the scripture, his love for us. And many of us know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. He loved us so much. But he wants us to go and share the gospel with everyone. Mark 16:15 also tells us the execution. The execution is that two-letter word, go. That two-letter word means much more than just go. Our hearts need to be part of this execution. If our hearts are not part of this execution, we will get discouraged and quit. We may start out strong, but we won't last. This verse is not just for pastors, church staff, missionaries, but it's for everyone who is a child of God. It is for men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls. We are all to tell the lost about, number one, what Christ did on the cross, and number two, how they can receive eternal life. You ask, well, where's some places that we can tell them? I'm pretty sure there's probably quite a few of us in here that have some lost relatives. So number one, at home. At home, that's where we need to tell them. Number two, at work. Our coworkers, even though we don't get along with them, we still need to share the gospel with them. Number three, young people, college and school. Everywhere we go, we need to share the gospel, whether it's a restaurant, a grocery store, a gas station. How many times have you been on the other side of the pump and the Lord said, hey, that person on the other side, share the gospel with them. Hand them a tract. Invite them to church. Well, you ask, well, how can I share the gospel with them? How can I tell them? I mentioned one. Hand them a tract. Well, Brother Dotson, I'm shy. I was once shy too. But it's not hard to hand them a tract. Invite them to church. Ask them to read it. Ask them to read it. Number two, share from the scriptures how they can be saved. And number three, share your testimony. Share your testimony. We were out in Fort Worth, Texas for a missions conference, and I was teamed up with the pastor, and we were out knocking doors and knocked on this one door, and gentleman, he was from Oklahoma City. He wasn't even from Fort Worth. But he kept saying over and over again that he was trying to fix this house up, and he was trying to flip it and put it back on the market. But he was trying to get it done so he can get back home to his family. And so we talked to him for a little bit. We just felt like we weren't getting anywhere. He wasn't receptive. And the pastor turned to me and said, Brother, do you have anything to share? And I shared my testimony. Through talking with Duck, we found out that he was Catholic. I came from a Catholic background, and I shared my testimony, how I got saved, and how I was converted. So don't give up. Keep sharing. Keep sharing the gospel. Number four, our service and support. Our service and support is our family at home, our relatives, our church family. Galatians 6:2, bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to pray for each other and be an encouragement. When people ask for prayer about something, pray about it. Because many times that request is a burden that they're facing. Burdens can cause us to not want to tell others about Christ. We get so focused on our own issues, we don't realize what other people are going through. Hannah, you're pregnant with twins. When Linnell was pregnant with our twins, Bryce and Grace, they were so small. I think she shared with you today, but they were so small that I could hold them in my hand. Bryce was 3 pounds, 10 ounces, and Grace was 2 pounds, 15 ounces. They were born, 10 weeks early. They spent 40 days in the NICU while we were at Lackland Air Force Base. We stayed at the Fisher House. It's kind of similar to the Ronald McDonald House. And any of you that may have stayed at a Ronald McDonald House or a Fisher House, you know that there's a bunch of other families that stay there. And you get to know them because you end up having meals with them. You get to know them. But had we not gotten to know three couples, we would have never known what they were going through. Those three couples, they had little ones that were born. They were maybe a pound, if not more. Two of those couples lost their little one. Right there was an opportunity that Linnell and I were able to minister to those couples. But had we not talked to them, we would have never known. But lots of times we get so focused on what we're going through, we don't realize what other people are going through. Sometimes we get discouraged, especially in prayer or soul winning. There's many people that came back that day when we went out in Fort Worth that were discouraged. They were discouraged because they didn't they didn't win somebody to the Lord. But we had to keep reminding them that that was a seed that was planted. And we just pray that somebody comes along and waters and then able to harvest. We may have someone which we've been trying to witness too many times, but they haven't received Christ as their Savior. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep sharing the gospel with them. Over a year ago, I got a text message from one of my former canine handlers. And he texted me, he said, "Sir, are you busy next week?" And I was already retired. And I keep trying to remind them I'm not their boss anymore. I'm Rob now. And so I said, "I'm not busy. I got a few things," but I said, "Let's meet up. Let's meet up at Cracker Barrel. We're Baptists. We love to eat, right?" So I get on Friday, I get there early. I still got that military mindset, showing up early. So I get there for about 15 minutes early. When I pulled in the parking lot, I prayed about that meeting. Now, leading up to that meeting, I knew some of the things because some people had shared with me what Mitch had been going through, some of the burdens. So I prayed about that meeting. After I finished praying, the Lord said, "Grab two tracks." I grabbed two tracks and I put them in my back pocket. As I go in, I get us a table and I sit down. Mitch wasn't there yet. I prayed once again. After I finished praying, Mitch walks through the door. He comes in and he sits down, and we started talking. Now, Mitch had just gotten back from a deployment. He came back early. The good side of him coming back early was that he was able to be there for the birth of his son. The downside was that he tried to take his life. That was the reason he came back. And so we talked a little bit more, and he said to me, "Sir, I'm looking for a church." And I just smiled and I looked up. I reached in my back pocket and I handed him that track. I said, "Here's where we're attending." He said, "What's the times?" I flipped it over, I showed him the times. He said, "I'll probably end up just going myself." Come Wednesday, he texted me, he said, "7 p.m., right, sir?" I said, "Yep." Now, we weren't there, we were out of town, we had a meeting. But I waited a couple days. I followed up with him. I said, "Hey, how did it go?" He said, "It was wonderful. Everybody was friendly. I plan on going back." I was like, "Great." Come Sunday, he texts me. He said, "11 a.m., right, sir?" I said, "Yes." So that evening, I was about 15 minutes before I was going to preach. I get a phone call, and it was Pastor Dean. He called me, and he said, "Hey, brother." And I shared with him everything that was going on, where we were at. And he says, "Hey, does the name Mitch come to mind?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "He was one of my former canine handlers. I talked to him many times, shared the gospel with him." He said, "Yeah, he told me that." But he said, I want to tell you that we had a missionary that preached this morning, so I didn't end up preaching. But afterwards, we had an invitation, and Mitch came forward. He came to me, and he said, I need to talk with someone. And knowing Pastor Dean, he's kind of witty. And he said, I'm that someone. He took him back to his office. He said, brother, I just let the tears just flow. Let him talk. And he said, I remember Mitch saying one thing. I have no hope. And Pastor Dean just looked at him and said, I can show you where you can have hope. He said, brother, I want to say thank you. Thank you for planting that seed and water because I was able to harvest. I tell you what, that night when I got up to preach in that small church in Hilliard, Florida, I had to tell everybody about Mitch getting saved. Don't give up. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep sharing. Keep praying for them. We may be serving the Lord and we are getting weary. Satan loves to attack when people are weary or discouraged. We need to be there for each other, encourage each other in the Lord. If you see someone who is getting discouraged, pray for them. Even if it's just trying to give them an encouraging word, or if you're like Rob, give them a hug, or just let them know that you're praying for them. The fifth part, our command and control. Earlier I said that convoy commander, that team leader, is that top person. Who is our commander? Who is our commander? Psalm 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. God wants to lead and guide us in our path in life. When we allow him to lead and guide our lives, we may still face trials because the enemy, Satan, loves to attack. But God brings peace and comfort through those situations. He also helps us to have the strength and the boldness to witness to others. Time is getting very short. We don't know when he's coming back. That's why we need to get busy. We need to get busy sharing the gospel. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He knows, we don't. We need to get busy sharing the gospel. If you're able tonight, go ahead and stand with your head bowed and eyes closed in an attitude of prayer. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you about Christian service, your Christian service. What are you doing to serve him? Maybe he's been speaking to you about being a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a missionary, or just being more involved in the ministries of your church. I ask you to come tonight, pray about it, share with your pastor. That way he can help you, pray for you, and lead you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been putting it off to a later time. Rob kept putting it off. But the Bible says now is the day of salvation, not some other day or some other time, but now. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for your op order, Lord. Lord, just help us, Lord, as we continue to go out and reach a lost and dying world for you, Lord. And Lord, if there is somebody that is here, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, Lord, I ask you not to give them rest until they get that settled tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this time. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dodson, let's go ahead and continue to be in a spirit and attitude of prayer, heads bowed. We'll have the music begin to play. I appreciate that message. That was just straight and to the point. God's op order. And that op order is be a witness for Christ. If we know him as our Savior, we're to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm shy. Well, we heard that tonight. Yeah, there's a lot of us that are shy. But that doesn't relieve us of a duty, of a privilege to tell others about Christ. To just give out tracts, leave them places, pray over them. God will use them. Maybe God spoke to you tonight. And if so, then, well, that demands a response, doesn't it? From every one of us. May we be faithful. God spoke into your heart about being a witness. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as we heard there in Mark chapter 16. If God spoke into your heart tonight, would you respond?